pray that the Lord would help us and bless us as we turn together to his precious word, for our instruction this evening, the word that's upon my spirit you'll find in Romans chapter 7, and we'll look at verse 4. Romans chapter 7, and naming verse 4 as a text. Wherefore, my brethren, ye are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. So Paul is saying that I've been explaining something in the first few verses of this chapter, and then there's something that he can draw out of that explanation to my brethren, my loved ones, brothers and sisters in Christ, to tell them that there is to be that great change in their covenant structure of their lives. From a covenant of relying upon the law to get to heaven to a covenant relying on the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is that one that it says here was raised from the dead. And so the wherefore part of this verse in verse 4 is talking about all that Paul has been explaining in verses 1 to 3. And Paul here, it sounds like he is talking all about marriage, but he is using marriage as an example. And although what he says about marriage is, of course, very true, and we just need to briefly run through that, that is just so that he can illustrate the rest of the chapter. And so Paul is saying something that all of us perhaps know, in theory, if not in practice, that you see, there is a very strong bond, a covenant bond, which is between a husband, one husband, and one wife, and that is a covenant that is made that cannot be broken in the law until death do them part. The husband is bound, or the woman is bound to the husband by to the law, as long as he liveth. And so, if while he and she are still alive, they are one of them is going with somebody else whilst they both are alive, then that would be called adultery. And so, these things are going with a different partner when you are married to somebody else is something that cannot be done through the law at all. But the Bible then tells us that which is also true, that if the husband is no longer alive, then that lady is free from that law. So she is no longer banned from marrying anybody else. And if she does marry someone else, she is no adulteress, even though she is married to someone else. And what Paul is talking about here then is one covenant being superseded by another covenant once the first covenant is finished. So the covenant of marriage cannot be dissolved by mankind, really, according to the word of God, although it is done in this world, but that's not right, according to the word of God, ultimately, although it's not the plan of God that should happen. But if there is one of the partners passes away, then that covenant is over and a new covenant can be entered into. And that really is the point that Paul is talking of here. And he's talking about the covenant that you and I are all in as we are born into this world. We are born into this world under the covenant of the law. That we should do what we need to do, and if we keep God's law, we will live. That is the covenant of the law. This do, and ye shall live. Keep my commandments and you will live. And yes, we are by nature, through our conscience and hardwired really, to understand some concept that yes, we should try to do good, and there will be rewards for doing good, to try to please God, and there will be rewards for pleasing God if we can. We are hardwired into thinking that we should earn a place in heaven through what righteousness or goodness is that we do in this world. That is how we are born into this world so often. But what we find is that we don't do what we would have to do to please God. We do not put into practice what we would have to do to please God. Paul says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. We, as even from little children, we let ourselves down. We get angry, or we lose our temper. We get cross, we can't control ourselves. We make mistakes. And how often we make mistakes and we think, why did I do that? Why did I say? Why did I do? Why did I act? And yes, we regret and so on, but we make mistakes, and those mistakes are made. And mistakes can't be undone, can't be unsaid, can't be unthought. And as we grow up, and so often we go in wrong ways and make bad decisions. We're reading through the last chapter of the Judges at the moment at home, and it's so depressing to see that people are making decisions, and you think, why did you make that decision? It's a decision that's going to lead to disaster. And you can see in those last chapters in Judges that one thing leads to another and leads to another. And there's mistakes and wrong decisions being made all the way along the road. And they say the excuse was, in those days there was no king in Israel. They thought, well, we needed someone to look up. We didn't have anyone to tell us what to do. They did have someone to tell them what to do, but they didn't want that king to tell them what to do. They didn't want to look at God's law and to see what they ought to do. They wanted to do things their own way. And they blamed it on the fact that there wasn't a king. But there was. There was a king in heaven. The king that had been, Samuel told them when they said they want a king. Samuel said, you have a king. Your king is God. You don't need an earthly king. And I'm not saying these things to throw stones at them, but I'm saying that that is how often we are like. We need to analyse often the decisions that we make and the words that we speak. And I say, to my own shame, we get it wrong. We make mistakes. We let ourselves down. You can think of people that are obvious make mistakes, like that man that slapped someone in the face at the Oscars. Or President Putin. We say, well, yeah, they made a mistake. But what about us? The Bible tells us in a previous chapter that we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped. That means stop boasting that me or you or anyone else is perfect or able to keep the law. Every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. And so the covenant of the law is broken. It was. It's not going to get me to heaven. It's killed off all my hopes of heaven. We were when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, verse 5, which were by the law, worked in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. What we deserve is death and damnation. But you see, once we come to realize that the law has killed me, I deserve to be dead, then, you see, we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That we come, or also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, to begin a covenant with another, even to him, that is Jesus Christ, who is raised from the dead. And so, you see, you and I need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be honest with ourselves. We need to come and be honest with ourselves and tell the Lord Jesus Christ that the law means that I should be dead. I should be in hell. But, you see, we come to find, and we are free to find, another covenant. There is to be a new covenant. And so we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able, who is risen from the dead, and able also to raise those that are dead to life. You see, this is the wonderful thing about the Word of God. We are spiritually dead, we are lost, but we can come to the Lord Jesus Christ believing that he is able to raise us up and to give us life, for he is the resurrection and the life. Whoso cometh to him, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And so the covenant of the law leaves us, if you like, dead. But the Lord Jesus Christ is able to pick up where we are, right where we are. He doesn't say, well, you need to be a bit better before I can start with you. But he is able to start with us right where we are. Look at where the Lord Jesus started with Lazarus when he was in the tomb after 4 days of being dead. Look at where he started with the widow's son of Nain. Look at where he started with the 12-year-old girl that was Jairus' daughter. Look at where he started. He started where they were. They were in a hopelessly dead situation. And the Lord Jesus started with them where they are. And you and I, we need one to raise us up. We come to the Lord Jesus finished. We come unto the Lord Jesus lost. And we come unto him because he is able to make us alive. And so we see that we need to tell the Lord Jesus that the covenant of the law justifiably has killed me off. Justifiably. There is no way that I am going to get to heaven through the covenant of the law. You see, that covenant is to be, there needs to be a dying of that covenant. But, you see, once that covenant is gone, then there is the opportunity for a new covenant of grace where those that are rejected by the old covenant are received by the new covenant. Verse 6, but now we are delivered from the law. We are no longer under the law. The law says you've sinned and therefore you are condemned. But we're delivered from that law. That being dead wherein we were held, the punishment is able to be taken away, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. And so it's so important that, yes, we are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another. There is to be an engagement. There is to be an approach to another. When we hope to get married, you obviously have to meet up with someone and get to know them. And at some point there is that very important question, will you marry me? Or that kind of thing. That you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead. That we should bring forth fruit unto God. The outcome of that marriage will be fruit unto God, glory to God, blessing. And so there is to be that approach to people that married or often don't even know each other when they're first born, of course, and live perhaps for many years without knowing each other. But then there comes a time when they get together. And there has to be those first conversations. And it is exactly the same with our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are to be those first conversations. And the Lord Jesus is very encouraging when he tells us about our first conversations, if you like. And for example, in Luke chapter 18, we see that there was this parable that Jesus said. And the purpose of it was that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That was the purpose. Jesus was telling a parable, that is a story, that's an earthly kind of story, but with a heavenly meaning. And he was telling this story to encourage people in every circumstance not to faint. That means do not give up. Do not think it is a hopeless cause. Do not think that where you are is too bad for the Lord Jesus to start off with you. Remember, the Lord Jesus is able to start where Lazarus was, having been dead for 4 days, and he was able to take him from that point to life. And so, you see, we are not to faint. We are not to say God can't help me. We are not to say that my case is impossible. We are not to say things are too hard. We are to be believers, you see. That the Lord Jesus, our God, is able to do hard things. There is nothing too hard for him. He is able to do impossible things. And for with him nothing shall be called impossible. And so we are encouraged to pray. And there was this woman in this city, and there was a judge in this city. And the judge was totally selfish. He didn't care about God and he didn't care about men. He was totally selfish. But there was a widow. And a widow in those days would have had very near zero rights. She would have had nowhere to go for anyone to stand up for her. Perhaps no one to help her. Perhaps there was no reason for her to be heard. No rights. But she came to this judge and kept on saying to him, avenge me of mine adversary. Or that might be something like, help me, I've got a problem, I've got someone that's being unkind to me, I need help. And this man didn't take any notice for a while. But evidently this woman kept on, kept on, kept on. And in the end he said, though I'm fear not God nor regard man, he might have said, though I'm totally selfish, and I don't care about God, and I don't care about this lady particularly. Yet there's one thing that I do worry, and she's given me a lot of grief. She's irritating me. She's troubling me. So I will do what she wants. I will avenge her because she's wearying me. And the Lord said, this is a lesson for us. Listen to what the judge said. The judge helps the lady that had nowhere to go, and she kept on asking, and even though he was an unjust judge, he did what was necessary for her. And shall not God avenge his own elect? Shall not God stand up for his own elect, his own people, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? The answer is, I tell you, that he will avenge them. He will stand up for them. He will listen. He will do what's necessary for them. And how quickly will he do it? The word is speedily. You see, there's this encouragement in God's word that we are to be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, where there is encouragement there for you and I to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever problems you have, they may be very big. You may have no grounds, you may think, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the story here, the account here of this widow woman and what Jesus is teaching us through that story is that cry day and night unto him. Cry. Pray on. Pray on from where you are this evening. Pray on from where you are in your hopeless circumstance. Because the Lord Jesus says here that he promises that he will avenge speedily. Promises these things. And so, you see, how relevant this is to you and I, where you are and I am, where we are today, that you may have thought, there is no hope for me in the law. I'm hell deserving. I'm death deserving, damnation deserving. But faint not. Do not give up. That's the important message, you see. Do not give up that you can be married to another. Giving up that the covenant of the law, yes, that's no good for you. That is dead and buried for you. It's not going to get you to heaven. But the Lord Jesus, there is a covenant there that can be made. And the Lord Jesus is encouraging us to call upon him through that covenant of grace. Undeserved favour given to those that don't deserve it. And there's some examples in the Bible that I thought about. And we can think about one in Rahab, you see, in real life. Rahab, she lived in Jericho. And if you read in the Word of God, Jericho had a very particular thing said about it. And that was, it was a cursed city. Everything about it was cursed. Everything about it, God said, was to be destroyed. The people were to be destroyed. The cattle were to be destroyed. The things that could be put through the fire were to be put through a furnace of fire, and only after they'd been through that furnace of fire could they be used. It was a cursed city. You might say Rahab knew she was doomed. She was a foreigner, she was a harlot, she was what we would, I suspect, call a prostitute, and you'd expect from the law no good for the future. And yet, you see, she serves notice on the covenant of the law. She doesn't come to these people saying, well, I'm a good person and therefore you should help me. But, you see, she says, I know that the Lord has given you the land. Your terror is fallen upon us. She doesn't say them. She says us. And that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. There's that word, faint again. What did we say? Men are always to pray and not to faint. She was in a fainting, giving up, hopeless circumstance with her cities, with her citizens that she was with. There was no courage in her heart. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. She knew that Jericho was going to be overwhelmed. She knew that she has no strength to stand up. There was no lawful way that she was going to get through this. The only thing that she says is she comes and prays. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. She comes, you see, as a beggar. She comes pleading for kindness and kindness and showing kindness to her by the Israelite soldiers. So she received. She was received a promise, and she was looked after, and she was saved. It says Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive, and all her father's household. And all that she had. Here was a lady, you see, that was serving notice on a way of getting to heaven because of her keeping the law and entering into a new covenant, the covenant of grace, where she came hopelessly faint and in a hopeless circumstance and pleaded that God would be gracious to her, undeserving as she is or was. And that's the same, you see, there's a lesson there for each one of us. We can go in all of our needs unto the Lord Jesus Christ, starting, we may be in a harlot situation, foreigners, doomed under the curse, but we start where we are today and we go that we should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, the Lord Jesus, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now, that fruit unto God is partly, of course, the fruit of faith, the fruit of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I was thinking also of Ruth, who was a Moabitess, and people that were Moabites, they were banned from anything to do with God for 10 generations, hundreds of years. Totally banned. They had no right at all to be anything to do with the children of Israel. There was a special, if you like, curse put on them. And yet Ruth was one of these Moabitesses. She had no place amongst the people of God. But she said, she saw that there was a blessing in the people of God, and she said, I'm not one of your people, but I want to be one of your people. Your people, I want to be my people. Your God, I want to be my God. She had a desire for God. And how did she come? Well, she came, her introduction to these things really was to be a gleaner, to be a beggar, to be looking to find grace in someone's sight. Now, to find grace in someone's sight is where you don't feel that you're worthy of any kindness to someone from someone else, and yet you come in faith that that person will be kind, and yet you don't expect it, you don't haven't earned it, you cannot bank on it, but you believe that there is a God that is able to help you to find grace in someone's sight. And that's how she came, and she came to Boaz, and of course we know that she did find grace in his sight. She went gleaning, and she received abundant blessings there. And then she goes on to receive, ultimately, that she was married to Boaz. God had God provided for her. There was a provision made for her. And so, you see, yes, she didn't come under the law. Absolutely not. She came seeking grace. The law meant that she was banned from anything to do with the children of Israel, but by grace she was received. And this is such an encouragement for us. You see, you may think that your sins have banned you from being a Christian, your sins have banned you from being a church member, your sins have banned you from any office in the church, your sins have banned you from knowing the blessing of God. Well, you see, that may be true in terms of the law, but in terms of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of the Lord Jesus is granted to those that don't deserve it, to those that have every reason to think that they are out of the secret, and yet we come and apply to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is an application to be made, and he is able to help. And you may come like that woman with the issue of blood. She was unclean, and she'd been unclean for 12 years. She'd been cut off from the temple, cut off from the worship of God, cut off from the synagogue. Anyone that touched her would have been themselves unclean if they knew what she was like. And she was a terrible trouble to her. She was weak and frail from and almost broke for all the money she'd spent on doctors. And yet, the thing is, she came unclean to the Lord Jesus Christ. And whereas all other people that she touched would be made unclean by her, she came to the Lord Jesus Christ and she believed, if I may touch but the hem of his garment, I won't make him unclean, but he will heal me. I shall be healed. She has faith to see that Jesus Christ is a God that is able to reverse the curse. And she touched him. And perhaps we know the story, but the Lord Jesus turned around him and said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole." And the woman was made whole from that hour. Here was an example, an encouragement perhaps for someone here that feels that your sins have made you unclean. That you've done things that you're absolutely disgusted by. They're a disgrace perhaps. But you see, we can come like that woman to the Lord Jesus Christ, unclean, and he is able to cleanse us. That woman, by the law, was totally banned from any interaction really with people where she was touching people. She was banned from a crowd like that. She was banned from touching anyone like that. But she became dead to the law by the body of Christ, that she should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Out of that interaction with the Lord Jesus Christ, she was healed, she was cleansed, and she received good comfort. Daughter, the child of God. Daughter, be of good comfort. There was peace spoken, there was kindness, there was love. Thy faith has made thee whole. And you see, there are so many instances in God's word of the Lord Jesus interacting with people that were in all those kind of circumstances. You may think it's there was one more woman I wanted to mention, and that was this lady, the Syrophoenician woman, and she was really discouraged. Her daughter was in a terrible situation. She was a Greek. She was, again, a Gentile. She shouldn't really, by the law, have anything to do with the children of Israel. And she had her daughter had a devil in her. And Jesus, when she came to Jesus, he said, "You're not the top priority. It is not meet for the children to take the children's bread. The blessings that are designed for Israel are not to be given to you." But then she says, "Yes, Lord, yet the dogs eat under the table, eat of the children's crumbs." Even if there's the tiniest crumb of blessing from Jesus Christ, that is invaluable. The smallest blessing from the Lord Jesus Christ is invaluable. And he said unto her, "For this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter." And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Now that woman, you see, she was discouraged, you might say. And it looked like, yes, well, that's what supplication is all about. Supplication is prayer that we don't expect to have an answer to by any reason in and of ourselves, other than we're coming to God. And supplication then is what this woman was doing, because when the Lord Jesus initially rebuffs her, she's not disgusted or filled with pride as to say, "Who is he to talk like that?" Because she is coming knowing that it's only supplication. That's the only grounds she has gone. So when Jesus confirms that that is the case, she isn't shocked or horrified. She understands that that's how it always was from the beginning. But she doesn't stop. She carries on. She pleads on. And she receives. And so, for you and I, doesn't matter how low a place we may be in, carry on pleading for that covenant of grace to be opened up, because grace is for those that don't deserve it. And so the Lord Jesus calls each one of us, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden." You may be trying to keep the law. You may be weary trying to keep the law. You may be trying to do everything right, and yet you're weary because you know that you're making mistakes. You've not got it right. It's not just so. You're weary with it. You're trying so hard, but you just can't seem to get it right. The Lord Jesus says, his introduction to us, a marriage, is between two people. There is that us calling upon the other party, but the other party also calling to us. And the other party, the Lord Jesus, is calling to us, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, you see, the Lord Jesus, he doesn't say you will earn rest, but I will give you rest. You see, salvation isn't, the law is about earning a place in heaven. Salvation isn't about earning a place in heaven. Salvation is about coming to the Lord Jesus weary and worn and sad and pleading with him, and he will give us rest. The gift of God is eternal life. It is that by grace ye are saved. It is that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And so I pray that each one of us here may know these blessings, that we can, I can come absolutely lost and hopeless to the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that he is able to raise me, dead as I am, to life, dead in trespasses and sins, to life, spiritually dead, like a stone, as hard as a stone in terms of my spiritual existence, dead. But the Lord Jesus Christ is able to take such souls and make them alive. That's what the new birth is all about. It's not according to the law, but it's according to the grace. That we should be married to another, in a covenant with another, the Lord Jesus Christ, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Well, these things are impossible with us. But the wonderful thing about the message of the gospel is it doesn't matter if we're coming to up against things that are impossible, because our God is able to do these things. And the message is that we end up with the relationship that we are the redeemed of God. The Lord Jesus redeems us. And we have a song to sing, because we have a song to sing of those not that have earned something, but that had nothing and have now freely been given all things. He that spared not his own son, but delivered up for him for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That is the covenant of grace that we can enter into once we have declared the covenant of the law as that which is worthless and hopeless to us. And now the covenant of grace is that the Lord Jesus enables us to freely do all things, and through his guiding hand with us is able to guide us and direct us to walk in his ways, to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. Well, it says there, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Who will deliver me from the situation I'm in, having broken the law? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. May God add his blessing to those thoughts. Oh, dear Lord God, we do pray that thou bless each one of us with the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. That each one of us here may see that there is no way that we are going to keep the law. No way that we're going to earn a place in heaven. But that each one of us here may come and be entering into that relationship with thee, Lord Jesus, to be responding to thy gospel calls to us through thy word. And Lord, that we may come and plead for thy grace. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to each one of us here, sinners, we plead. Have mercy, we pray,